Hi, today is December 27th, 2014, and this is the last Comics Views podcast for this year. Comics Views podcast number 64. I'm Todd Ogasawara with my good friend Jay Stone, and I'd like to thank Jay for co-hosting this podcast with me for the last 3.5 years. We did the first one way back in June 2011 with our friend Emil Reyes, who's been on now and then with us. And we talked about the first Thor movie way back then, which was a good one. So,
wow, it's been that long already?
3.5 years, yep.
Wow.
Hard to believe, huh?
Relatively.
Am I counting right, or is it 2.5? Let's see. 12, 13, yep. No, wait. 12, 13, yep. 3.5 years, yep.
This is 64, right?
The 64, yep.
64 divided by 3.
I'll let the engineer
do
math.
So we do about like 18 a year.
Yeah. Yeah.
So divided by 52. That's like 100. So like 35% out of the year we're doing this?
Yeah. It's about right, right? So we're doing one every 3 weeks or so.
Yeah, that's not too bad.
Something like that. So 3 every 2 months or something like that, I think, anyway.
It's not like we're serial.
Yeah, that's... No, I don't think we've got that many listeners.
No, our 5 fans.
Yeah.
Up against serial fans.
Yeah, but hey, they're loyal.
Yeah, that's true.
And this podcast doesn't end, at least for the foreseeable future. Serial has to come to an end at some point.
It already has.
Okay.
They're already making fun of it on Saturday Night Live.
I saw that.
That was hilarious, because I listen to every episode of Serial.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, shout out to all the people who create Serial. Maybe she'll listen to ours.
One can only hope. In any case, for this final podcast, Jay and I are going to talk about some of the best things from the past year in 2014 and some of our biggest disappointments. For me, the best thing was a surprise, and that was the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, because I didn't think I'd like it. Well, I didn't say I didn't think I'd like it. I didn't think I'd like it nearly as much as I do. And up until Guardians of the Galaxy, my favorite movie of the year was Captain America, which was an awesome movie, but Guardians of the Galaxy took a comic book that had morphed from the one I knew, from the original one, into something whose characters I had no idea who they were or what they were about. And yet, I enjoyed the movie immensely. I loved the soundtrack. In fact, even my daughter loved the soundtrack.
I bought it.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, man, I got to get this.
And it was a lot of fun. It was, it deviated from the comics a little bit. I went back and read some of the early comics of this version of the Guardians of the Galaxy, and there are some differences, but not enough to detract from the movie. It's certainly not for me anyway. I really enjoyed everything about it. Enjoyed the actors in their roles. Enjoyed the characters. Enjoyed the storyline, the music, and even the little after credit mini movie. What did you think about that one?
The movie, the whole movie, or the
after-credit? The movie.
Oh, I loved it. We just watched it the other day.
Again?
We bought it. Once we buy it on iTunes.
Yeah.
We went and bought it.
Nice.
So we can watch. Oh, yeah. That was something that everyone in the family could agree on. And the thing that I think it appeals to so many people, because my wife saw Avengers, right?
Right.
She got kind of tired of it.
Really?
Because it's very bombastic in some ways. And there's humor and stuff like that, but
yeah.
It was like, she got tired of it. But yeah. Guardians of the Galaxy, she loved that one.
Yeah.
And she's not into super comic books, but she loved that. I said, watch it. She hates it when I take her to these comic book movies. Right?
Yeah, I think one of the things that appealed to so many people is that you didn't need to be a comic book fan in general, and you didn't even need to know about the comic book that the Guardians of the Galaxy came from to enjoy it. It was just a great movie.
It wasn't. I think the thing that I thought was, I personally liked it better than Avengers.
Yeah, I have to say I did too. I agree with you there.
And I think the thing for me that I liked more about it was the fact that even though they're all aliens but one guy, I found the characters more relatable.
Interesting.
And the thing that I love, my favorite character probably is Drax. the Destroyer. I mean, Dave Bautista.
Yeah, yep.
He plays it very straight.
Yes.
But his backstory, you don't even need to know what really happened. I mean, you know what, he tells you what happens, right? But you don't need to see it.
Right.
But the way he plays the character, he has so much tragedy, right? And he's so sad, and he's so depressed, and he has so much rage. You can, and I'm a dad, right? So I can believe it. And then, even now, when I saw it the first time, and every time I see it, I still tear up when he talks about his family. And especially, you know how they're at the gathering, right, you know, near the end, where they have to come up with a plan?
Right.
And he says, oh, I have a 12% plan. And then Rocket's, like, all making fun of him. Right. And then they all decide to, one at a time, to help Quill, right?
Right.
And then what Drax says, you know, that he, you know, he'd help. And then in the end, he'll see his mom, his wife and his daughter again.
Right.
Because they all expect to die, right?
Right, right.
I mean, even though he takes, that character takes everything literally, I found him the most sympathetic. And I really enjoyed that character much more than I ever thought, right? Because, okay, here's this fighter, right? How good can he be, right? So, you know, I thought he'd be like Sabretooth in the first X-Men, right? You remember that guy?
Yep, I remember.
He didn't really do much, right?
No.
He just punched people and growled and stuff like that, right? But Drax was to me, a really fully realized character, even though in reality, his personality is pretty two-dimensional.
Well, I have to say that in addition to the main character, Peter Quill, is Star-Lord, Rocket Raccoon and Groot.
Oh, yeah.
You know, in fact, I think I saw a not I think I saw. I recall seeing an interview with Vin Diesel who voiced Groot. And the question to him was, you know, you really only have one line for the vast majority of the movie, right? And there is a second line that he utters later. And Vin Diesel said, you know, James Gunn, the director, gave him pages and pages of notes for each and every line, I am Groot, to give him an idea, of what emotion and concept to imbue in I am Groot for every time he says it.
Well, it means different things, right? And only Rocket understands.
Right.
But he delivers the line differently.
Yes, he does.
I am Groot. And then I am Groot.
Right.
But it conveys the emotion that you want to hear.
Yeah, that's exactly what the director tried to get from him and got it, I think.
Even the what I think is great about the movie too, even is he's a plant, right?
Yeah.
But when he at the end, right, when he creates his protective, you know, bubble,
right,
around all of them, you feel for the plant.
Yes.
And that's really well done, I think. That's very good writing. That's very good acting. That's really good directing. When you feel for a plant.
Well, it is a sentient plant.
Yeah, but he's still a plant, right? And he's not the smartest plant around, right? He's a lovable plant.
Best dancing plant.
Yeah, best dancing plant. But at the very end, right, when he's trying to protect all of them, right?
Yes.
He decides to sacrifice himself for all the other, for everyone else.
Right.
And I think that's the thing you don't get in Avengers. In Avengers, right, it's the classic comic book thing, right, where you fight one another.
Yeah.
Right? Which is fine, too. I mean, that's also enjoyable. But you don't see the same kind of thing in this comic book. They're fighting with each other, but more with words than pummeling each other, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like in Avengers where they had Iron Man fight Thor and Thor fights Hulk, which is all great. But that, I think that's why the movie resonates more with me to watch Guardians of the Galaxy. I mean, I can watch it so far. I can watch it again and again and again. I still find it really enjoyable.
That's right. I have to say I've only watched it once, and I enjoyed that one viewing at the theater very much. So I think you enjoyed it more than I did, and I enjoyed it a lot.
I think I saw it twice in the theater because my wife just wouldn't come, and I finally convinced her to go.
Yeah.
And then, okay. And then when we bought it, I think I've seen it already two or three times since I bought it. We only bought it like a week and a half ago.
Wow.
I think. Because it's like, oh, what do you want to watch? Oh, let's watch Guardians. I mean, it's fun. I mean, it's funny. It's still funny. You know, and it's a moving show. It's, and then the other thing is, you know, when I first saw it, I also cried when Peter sees his mom.
Mm.
When, you know, when he touches the Infinity Stone.
Right.
Right. And then he turns, right, and he sees his mother. And then I went, whoa. I mean, that's really something. Although I don't understand how that particular Infinity Stone allows him to see her, but right. Okay. Right? Isn't it? It's not the right one, yeah, to see the past?
I don't even remember which stone it was, do you?
I don't know all the Infinity Stones, but this one, right? You touch it to the ground, it destroys organic matter, right?
Right.
That cannot be time, right?
Hmm.
But when he touches it, he sees the past, right?
Right.
Or does he see a resurrected version, right? Because isn't one of them control of time?
Yes.
So, I thought that was, I mean, it's not, this Infinity Stone, I don't think is control of time, because that's not what happens, right? It just destroys matter,
right?
Organic matter. So, it's got to be something else. So, I mean, I can forgive that as part of a, you know, for comic book continuity sake, right. I can still forgive that because I thought it was very effective.
Yeah.
You know.
Okay, moving on. Your best pick is a comic book, one I don't read. So, tell me about it.
So, in the New 52, they rebooted Wonder Woman.
Okay, and everything else.
Yeah, but yeah. The best one I think they did was Wonder Woman.
Really?
And I've read the first issue of every single New 52 comic. Pretty sure.
Okay.
I haven't read all the series of all of them. I've read many of them.
Right.
And when I read the first issue of the new Wonder Woman, I actually wasn't impressed.
Hmm.
And then I started reading reviews, so I went back and I bought the issues I missed.
Right.
And then I was like, it blew me away. So Brian Azzarello and Cliff Chiang rebooted Wonder Woman. And they have another artist that comes in every once in a while. And the biggest thing they changed was that they made her the daughter of Zeus.
Okay.
And the other big change that they did is they updated all the other gods and made them more modern. And so, and some of them are a little weird looking. Like Poseidon looks like a huge fish.
Hmm.
Like a really, really massive fish crossed with an octopus.
Okay.
And then Hades is a little child who has no eyes but has a crown of candles. And then Apollo is black, you know. He has a and he's not. I mean, his skin is completely black.
Okay.
And then he eventually becomes the ruler of Olympus because Zeus is gone. So he's disappeared. No one knows where he is.
Okay.
And so the whole. The whole run for the last 2 to 3 years,
yeah,
about 3 years, was all about Wonder Woman trying to save her cousin, which is also a daughter, a son of Zeus.
Any familiar name for this cousin?
No, his name is Zeke, I think.
Okay.
So he's an infant child born to a human woman.
Okay.
So, the other gods want to kill the kid. And then there's a another son of Zeus called the Firstborn, which supposedly is the first child of Hera and Zeus.
Okay.
Who is this completely awful, horrible character. I mean, he's just nasty. And he wants to kill the child, too, so that he can rule Olympus. And he eventually does rule Olympus. And the thing that I thought was so interesting about the series was how they kept on. It was always surprising. The gods are very fickle. They turn on one another, but they have good intentions. And the one constant is actually Wonder Woman. And the thing that I thought was very interesting is even though she's so powerful, they even introduce a new power. you know, her bracelets are not just to defend herself.
Okay.
It's to actually to keep her power as a god in check.
Really?
Yeah. So she goes up against goddess of the moon, Artemis.
Okay.
Right? Apollo's sister, right? Because Apollo wants to become, you know, the ruler of Olympus. And right. So the sister goes after Wonder Woman because she's protecting the infant child of Zeus. And so they go at it. And so Artemis is kind of beating her up a little bit. And so Wonder Woman takes off her gauntlets.
Mm-hmm.
And then her god, her godliness comes out. Her divinity comes out. And then she's able to basically, you know, beat down Artemis, who's a full god, not a demigod.
Mm-hmm.
And then you find out later Ares used to be Wonder Woman's teacher, teach her how to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And then they had a falling out. And then Ares somehow gets killed, but I don't remember. I think it's by Wonder Woman. Because she becomes a new god of war. So not only is she a daughter of Zeus and an Amazon, now she's actively the god of war in DC Universe.
Wow, that's quite a promotion.
Yeah, it's a big deal. So she's queen of the Amazons.
Right.
Hippolyta died.
Right.
Was turned to clay.
Right.
Hippolyta comes back for a little bit and then is gone. So she is now queen of the Amazons, god of war, and girlfriend of Superman.
Busy lady. Busy goddess, I should say.
Yeah, busy goddess. And the thing that I thought was interesting is how they interwove all these other little gods, other demigods like her,
right?
Her cousins and things like that, her uncles and stuff, into the whole storyline. It's if you have a chance to pick up the compilations, I really suggest you read it.
Okay. I have a question. Now, it's a good gimmick to have the bracelets dampen her powers, because that was always one of the problems with Superman as he became more powerful in the Silver Age especially. But does that mean basically when Wonder Woman takes off her bracelets, there's nobody that can stop her short of – actually nobody. She's not even a god.
Well, other gods can.
Well, she kind of beat up a couple from the sound of it.
Well, she beat up Artemis, but Artemis asked.
And killed the god of war.
Yeah, but she didn't mean to.
Oh, okay. It was an accident.
Well, that was her friend. The thing is, I think the god of war wanted to die.
Oh.
And it was a big battle and something. I don't remember all the story. I'd have to go back and reread it.
Okay.
But, yeah, she's pretty powerful. But the thing that is interesting is she chooses to keep the bracelets on. She chooses to keep herself depowered. And the conflict she has is she doesn't want to be god of war.
Mm.
And she doesn't want to be all these things. You know, she just wants to do what's good and right. And I think one of the best lines, or best storylines, is when Hades puts her into a situation where she has to marry him.
Mm-hmm.
And that she has to honestly and truly love him. Otherwise, he's going to kill the baby, right? Yeah. The infant son of Zeus. And so there's just several issues that go through that whole story arc where she ends up in the underworld and she gets married and everything. And she says something that I thought really encapsulates her character. He keeps on challenging her. You have to honestly love me. You have to truly love me.
Right.
Otherwise, I'm going to kill these people or whatever.
Right.
And she says, I do love you.
Right.
And then he doesn't believe it.
Right.
She says, no, I do. And then he does something and he tests her and he says, oh, you do love me.
Yeah.
And then she goes, I love everyone. So she's portrayed very differently by Brian Azzarello than maybe a lot of other creators. So there's always been in Wonder Woman, right? This Amazon ethic of peace and war, right? She comes to man's world to spread peace, right? But she's also a warrior,
right?
Right, and she does it by pummeling people's heads and stuff like that. But I thought that story arc really encapsulated what she's really about. She as a character has so much love for every entity, right? She truly loves everyone, but she's willing to do what's necessary, you know, to root out evil. And it floored Hades, and he didn't believe. And then he went, and then he released her from her obligation, so she didn't have to marry him. And so, in a way, he felt tricked, but not tricked, right? And so there's a lot of Wonder Woman is more. It's not so much. There's a lot of action, but there's also a lot of these psychological things that are occurring in the comic. And there's also a lot of strategy that's occurring, and you don't realize what's occurring until maybe the end of the arc, right? And there's machinations between all the gods, right? And just when you think one of the gods is on your side, they always turn on you, right? There's always something bad about them, right? It's like you think Hermes is really helping them, and then he steals the baby.
Right.
But then he has some justification for it, right? Or something. And then, but the thing that makes Wonder Woman different as a goddess is that her morality doesn't waver. Even at the very end of the big Brian Azzarello's big run on it. After 3 years, she's fighting firstborn. And, you know, she reaches out to him. I don't know if it was forgiveness or love. And he's like, oh, you know, I won't be alone and la 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 and all this stuff. And she pities him and she loves him as a brother. But then she realizes that he is completely evil. And so banishes him to some depths of Tartarus or something like that. And hopefully he'll learn his lesson to be a better person. And then Orion from the New Gods also shows up, which is pretty cool. Yeah, he shows up in Wonder Woman for a while. Which is better than what they're doing with it in Green Lantern. I don't understand the story in Green Lantern. It's a really good comic. You have to get past the first issue though.
Okay, well, just to let you know, while you were talking, I found that Volume 1, which is issues 1 through 6, is on sale for the next couple of days for $4.99 in the collection, so I just paid $5 plus tax and through Comixology.
Oh, good. Yeah, I'm sure you'll enjoy it. Yeah, it's a really well-done comic. It unfortunately, you know, Brian had a, you know, Brian Azzarello and Cliff Chiang had an arc, right?
Right.
They had this huge story they wanted to tell.
Right.
They finished the story.
Right.
They moved on.
Right.
They put David Finch and Meredith Finch in there. Pretty okay art. A little problems here or there. But not very good writing compared to Brian Azzarello. So of any of the New 52, in my mind, Wonder Woman was probably the best executed. The very best of all of the comics of the 52 that I've read. The only other one I think comes close to that is Aquaman.
Interesting.
Pick up Aquaman. You know, it's a very well done comic from the very beginning. Even now that Jeff Johns left.
Right.
But I think it's a Jeff Parker.
Right.
And Paul Pelletier is doing the art. I don't like his art as much as Ivan Reis.
Right.
But it's still very interesting. It's still very well done. I mean, I'm probably as the New 52 has gone on, I had subscriptions for several of the different books, and I've canceled them over time as I didn't care for them much anymore.
Right.
I'm probably going to cancel Wonder Woman because I don't like the new run, but of the two I would get every month in the mail, Wonder Woman and Aquaman are the ones I look the most forward to.
Interesting. I wouldn't have guessed that.
Justice League, huh?
I wouldn't have guessed that.
They really turned things on their head for Aquaman. It's a well done comic. Jeff Johns run, and then I think it's Jeff Parker. No, Jeff Parker's run. I think Jeff Parker is he writes Batman 66. you know, the campy version.
Right.
That's an online series, which is actually really good.
Right, based on the old TV show.
Yeah, I picked it up. I picked up one. I think I picked up one comic.
I'm thumbing through the pages of Wonder Woman Volume 1 as you speak.
Yeah, if there's any, of the New 52 pickup, comic books to read, that's one of them, for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. Is okay. a one. And then the next I would say is Aquaman. And then right up there to me is Batman.
Interesting.
But Batman's a little more expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have a little more pages in it. They always have a backstory. But it's Scott Snyder is just really good. Really, really good. And if you were into like occultic stuff, if you pick up the Swamp Thing, like from in New 52, that's probably like pretty high up there. But they're going to cancel Swamp Thing.
Oh.
Well, they went. Jeff Lemire, I think, was writing it, and he's a very good writer. And then Charles Soule, which I heard is actually a lawyer, but he writes like 10 books or something. It's crazy. He's actually a practicing lawyer, but he writes all these comic books.
Well, I wonder when he has the time.
I have no idea. Swamp Thing. I only picked up a few because when it crossed over with Animal Man, because I love Animal Man. I only picked up the Jeff Lemire versions, but I've read that Charles Soule does a very good job.
Nice.
With Swamp Thing.
Okay. Well, moving on to our biggest disappointments then. I think we've talked about this one enough that we don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but we both agree on this. Gotham, the TV show.
I'll watch it.
It's building up on my DVR. I think I've got, like, I don't know, 4 or 5 episodes I haven't watched and I may never watch. But we apparently are in the minority because it looks like it's a big hit and it just boggles my mind.
Of any of the comic book series that'll survive, that might be the one that survived.
That is crazy.
I mean, I don't know. How is Marvel Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. doing? Because I started to watch it after you told me.
Yeah.
And I caught up on Netflix, and I, even though I didn't see the first 5 episodes of this past season, I just started watching it. That's actually a really good show.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. I don't know how well it's doing, but I'm really enjoying it ever since I call it the reboot, the Captain America reboot, the episodes in season 1 that followed the Captain America Winter Soldier movie and was tied directly into it. I kind of wish S.H.I.E.L.D. were still the super secret, super duper spy agency and not so much of this conspiracy theory version of it. But I'm still enjoying it a lot. Even some of the weirder stuff that I'm guessing is going to lead into the next Avengers somehow. Or at least one of the other Marvel movies. But yeah, enjoying that a lot. Gotham, still no. Well, I shouldn't say that since I haven't watched it in like a couple of months now. But no characters I like except for the mob boss
the truly evil guy.
Yeah, who's this like the most interesting and likable character, which is kind of a bad sign, I think.
I mean, he's not a nice guy.
No,
he seems like it, but he's not a nice guy.
No.
I've seen some of the more recent episodes. He's pretty bad.
Oh yeah, I mean, his character didn't get where it was by being a good guy.
No, he is a mobster.
Yeah. But he's likable.
What does that say? You feel bad about the guy who kills people?
Yeah, exactly, right?
Who orders people to kill people?
Right.
Because he's, going to be, his people are working behind the scenes to get rid of him. It is like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's an odd one. It's up there with the Godfather in that sense,
Yeah, they made him very Godfather-like.
Yeah.
Not like Italians.
Yeah.
Type of thing. I mean, I guess he is Italian, right? Falcone.
Yeah.
But, right, the Godfather was like supposed to be a lovable guy, right? Even though he was actually evil.
I don't know about lovable, but certainly was a character that you could understand, maybe even admire, even though he's scary.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's a better way to put it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a better way to put it.
But there is, I mean, I don't like Jim Gordon. I don't like Alfred. I don't like
Fish. Oh, you should see the more recent episodes. I like the Alfred.
Oh, really? Is he getting better?
Well, he's not the kind of Efren Zimbalist Alfred. He's not the witty Alfred.
Okay.
He's more like the Earth One Alfred.
Okay.
You know Batman Earth One?
Yeah.
He knows how to fight.
Right, the tough guy.
Shoot. Yeah. He's the tough Alfred.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of episodes that I thought were actually really good, and it was because of Alfred. And it the way he plays it, I can understand more of why he would agree to allow Bruce to be Batman. Because you would think it would be just make no sense that you would let this happen.
Right.
Just because he's your boss, right? You're the legal guardian.
Right.
Of this kid, right? Whom you really, truly love. Right. But you can see how, because of whatever his backstory is, he understands what it means to get things done.
Yeah.
And that sometimes you have no choice but to do things that may put you in danger or may not be truly, I wouldn't say legal, but may not be in the end the best thing for you, but the best thing at the time.
Yeah.
So,
okay,
maybe, I like him.
Maybe I'll give it another chance just to watch the Alfred character improve.
You might like that episode.
Okay. I've got, like I said, 4 or 5 of them on the back burner, maybe more. I kind of gave up on it.
I still don't know what they're trying to do with Catwoman or Catgirl. That's so confusing to me.
Yeah, it's a weird one.
And Riddler and Penguin. Yeah, he's a psychotic guy. They can't have a Joker, so they create someone else. But the Catwoman thing, I don't know. I don't understand that. Yeah. I don't think that's very effective. And Riddler is just creepy.
Yeah. Okay.
I never thought of him as that creepy.
And speaking of things I don't understand and I don't like, our second and final big disappointment of 2014 is everything we have heard about the next Fantastic Four movie. There is just no good thing I can say about what I've read so far.
Well, they didn't listen to us, right?
Yeah, that's right. They totally ignored us. And you know, of course, it's not just us who doesn't like it. Marvel Comics doesn't like it. Yeah. Slash Film has an article. I didn't read the comic book, but apparently in Punisher number 12, they kill off the Hollywood actors in a new movie.
Yeah, I know. I know. You sent that link, and I'm looking at it now.
Oh my! And didn't the Marvel cancel a Fantastic Four comic book?
Yes, they recently canceled it.
Just to spite this movie. I mean, that's big deal.
What some people say, I don't know if it is, but that's what some people are saying is happening, you know. But I wouldn't put it past, I mean, they want it back, right? They want the rights back.
Yeah.
You know, and they want to do it correctly, finally, because the other time they tried to do it didn't work out too well either.
Yep. Yep.
You know?
The last two movies.
They were horrible.
Yeah,
but you know, they made a lot of money.
Did it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, first man. One made a decent amount, well over $100
million. Yeah.
Yeah, you can look it up, but it wasn't.
Well, at least they got the costumes right, more or less. You know, this time, I don't even know.
Yeah, but the first one was totally miscast.
Oh, yeah. Well, I said the costumes, not the people in them.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't blame Marvel. I mean, they want everything under the same roof.
Yeah. Well, that and Spider-Man, which has kind of gone off the rails, too.
Well, why reboot it so quickly?
Yeah.
To make money, pretty much.
Well, they rebooted it so quickly because Tobey Maguire is too old to play Spider-Man, so they had to get a new actor.
Yeah, I mean, he's a fine actor, but it was just, you know, it was lame.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, I agree. Very disappointing.
The Amazing Spider-Man 1 was okay. Amazing Spider-Man 2 is just...
Yeah, even 1 was kind of . It didn't have the heart of the Tobey Maguire version.
No. Okay, so, Fantastic Four,
yeah.
The first one. $330 million.
That's a chunk of change.
Yeah, 154 coming within the U.S.
Yeah,
so that was in 2005, but it got 27% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, that's actually more than I would give it, but okay.
Yeah, that was the first one, right?
Yeah,
it's fantastic.
That was a Doctor Doom.
Right. Yeah. Right. The horrible Doctor Doom that made no sense.
Right.
Because he wasn't from Latvia. Maybe he was, but he didn't have an accent.
Accent, right.
The Fun Doom. Okay, second one. Fantastic Four, Rise of the Silver Surfer. Right. $289 million.
Wow, and that was truly horrible.
Worldwide. The $330 million was worldwide, and the $289 million was worldwide.
Wow.
So they both made back their budget and more. So, I mean, it made a lot of money. I don't know why. I mean, I saw it myself, but
well,
I saw it in the theater. I think I saw it on a video.
Maybe it's one of those things, if you don't know the comic book, you thought it was an okay movie. Maybe it's like Gotham, you know, we know too much. We expect more.
Did you see Galactus in the second movie?
Well, it was kind of a cloud thing, right?
The cloud, and then, you know, what they did to Norrin Rad? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That was just wrong.
Well, there's a lot wrong about it.
Yeah, there was.
Yeah.
And like what, Jessica Alba wouldn't wear, she wouldn't dye her hair, so that was a wig the entire time. Looks a little weird.
Of course, the weirdest thing is the Human Torch became Captain America.
Yeah, but he moved on to much better things. He's a, you know, he's a good actor.
He is. And I really enjoyed the first two Captain America movies.
Oh, they were really good.
Yeah.
They were really good.
I would say until Guardians of the Galaxy, they're among my favorite, if not the top two near there.
I loved Winter Soldier.
Yep.
Winter Soldier was good. I think as a film overall, I think Winter Soldier is a better film, you know, artistically speaking and everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way it's filmed, the direction of it, the plot and everything. But Guardians of the Galaxy is way more fun.
Oh, yeah.
Touching.
Guardians of the Galaxy is a takeoff of Indiana Jones, right, in a way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right. I agree. It's like, beginning to end, it's just like this great ride that you just wanted to sit there and enjoy.
Yeah, and in fact, it would be a great ride since Disney now owns, well, I can't remember which owns what, but Disney owns Marvel now, so I'm looking forward to a Guardians of the Galaxy ride at some Disney park.
Oh, that would be so cool if you saw Groot, you know, walking around.
Yeah.
You know, at Disneyland. That'd be awesome. Yep. Rocket.
Yeah. Indeed it would. Okay, so there you go, folks. The last podcast of 2014 for us. Best thing for me, Guardians of the Galaxy. Best thing for Jay, the Wonder Woman comic book series, the New 52. Biggest disappointment, no surprise, Gotham TV show. And everything we have heard about the next Fantastic Four movie, which is anything but fantastic from what we've read.
Yeah.
Maybe they should call it the Bombastic Four.
They may not be that bombastic
either. Yeah, that would be sad, wouldn't it?
It's pretty sad.
Yeah, when Marvel gets so mad they kill the actor or comic book versions of the actors in a Punisher comic book, I mean, that's more than a little hint that they don't like it. Punisher number 12.
Yeah, that's so sad.
Yep. Okay, so Comics News Podcast number 64. It's been fun. We'll see you in 2015, folks. Thanks to all five of you who listen. Bye.